Hello, my beautiful bestie. How are we doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. I'm so happy to see your face and hear your voice live.
Oh my gosh, me too. We had a complete recession of voice notes.
I feel naked almost.
Like, I know.
Especially through the weekend without, like, I knew that your weekend plans and end of week, last week plans, it was a full-blown ultra marathon. But I really just missed you so much.
I didn't realize how much time I do have alone until this past week. Oh. And I realized how much I lean on our voice notes when I am alone. Because as we talked about, I cannot really be alone with my thoughts. But how I just listen to your voice notes and then I reply. And I just felt so behind on us. And life, but particularly us, really, this last week.
I couldn't wait to get on here today and download all the brains, all the things. Hold on, though. Alone time. It is sacred. And when you don't have it, you forget how important it really is.
I think there's a difference between alone time, like specifically alone, which is very, very sacred. Mm-hmm. And alone time with your spouse to be silently siloed alone together.
Yes.
Like, I'm in my alone moment, but you're right there. And if I need to ask you something, but like, we're in our alone moments where we're, that's different. I'm speaking code. I had family visit the last 6 days and it was amazing and wonderful. And I'm so grateful for that. It's just not something I'm used to because typically my family stays in a hotel when they come. And this week they stayed here, which had so many pros to that because of all the help and the support. And there was a reason we did it that way. And also, it's hard not to be on when you have people visiting. And thankfully, it's my parents. So I actually have zero problem being off around them. And they know that, probably to a default. Like, I should probably be a little bit nicer. But
self-check.
Probably could turn on the hosting a little bit more. But it was a long week, but like in a great way. And I kept saying that and I felt bad because I think in the moment they thought I was saying that in regards to them being there. But it's actually because I had so many different moving pieces in the last 6 days and had so many different events and was here and there and everywhere in between that it just felt like I lived 10 lives in the last week on top of the fact of there's people staying in your home and whatnot. So anyway, yeah, I missed you.
I missed you, and it sounds so wholesome and long and exhausting. So many truths, no lies. And it's time for you to carve out some alone time just for you.
Yeah, we'll find it. We'll find it somehow.
You will.
How are you? Can you give me the highlights? How are we doing?
The highlights. This is a transitional time. Transitions are really hard. And I, right now, probably like many others, are in the summer transitional thickness of when school is over and then you transition to camp and a different schedule and different routes. And it is hard. I'm just going to name it because, you know, you get really used to your routine and it feels comfortable to be in a good routine. And we like to preach phases and stages, and I believe all of that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, in the thick of the summer transitions, it's tough. So we're doing our best, and it led me to think about that I think I voice noted you last night, that I do think is pertinent for our platform and to other people who might be in the thick of the summer transitions too. I always like to lean on, you know, what's unfamiliar today won't be as unfamiliar tomorrow. So I keep telling myself that as I'm kind of experiencing all of these new transitions and day by day, day by day. That's all we can do, right?
That's it has such an academic lens. My dad always used to say, like, our first day of kindergarten, our first day of middle school, our first day of high school and college, every transition, he would always say, remember when you were X age and you were so nervous and then all of a sudden, you know, it was the end of the school year and you had, that's exactly what's going to happen now. And it's so true.
It's so, so true. That gave me goosebumps. It's so, so true. And it's funny, like the introspective process, you see your kids going through the transition. Mm-hmm. And then you have to take a look in the mirror and think about like what those types of transitions are doing to you. Like you're trusting new people with your precious gems. That's mm-hmm. really hard to do. And we talked about last week, the teachers, amazing. The camp counselors, amazing. But I was reflecting during reset last night as I was cleaning the dishes, like, wait a minute, is my postpartum anxiety coming back at 44 months old? is that a thing? And I like took a deep breath. I named it. I tamed it. And it's just getting used to the new transitions that, you know, each phase and stage brings us. So we're in the thick of it. And I know for a fact, this time next week, I'm going to feel so much better about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely just feeling a little uneasy right now in the transitional summer phase. That's where I'm at. Sorry for the realness. I am glad to share my realness mm-hmm. because I truly think, I know that I'm not alone in it.
You certainly are not. It's so real. And it's so hard. It's so hard. I think it also comes down, you know, as you said, is it my PPA or is this just a transition or is this just X, right? Mm-hmm. And you get to this place where you feel so confident and competent and an automation. The automation is everything. When you can feel like, my son, my daughter, my husband, my whomever is in a good place. They're off to the races. We do this, then we do that. We're in our routine. When that automation is taken out and you have to add a little bit more thinking, you have to add a little bit more self-work, some coping mechanisms. We can preach all we want that we have them, that we have those tools. But accessing them is hard. It is.
Hard.
Because it takes effort. It takes time and it takes effort. It takes extra thought. Mm-hmm. So that automation is so great. And right now, it's not automated time. I'm about to go through a similar transition. My daughter's moving up to the next room next week.
Yeah.
And
that's a big one.
It's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And just as you were, it's so exciting. And I know that she's ready. I know that she's going to love it. There's going to be so much for her to do in there. And they get water play outside. They wear their bathing suit every day. Like, it's going to be amazing. I'm worried about me. I'm worried about how much I trust these people and how I don't have to download my brain every day. And I download it in notes, but they know what my notes mean and they know her. And that I know she very rarely cries ever when I drop her off nowadays. And there might be a chance that sometimes she does. But yeah. I know I'm like, ooh, that's hard today. But I also know that she loves her teachers and she'll be fine as soon as I leave. What happens in the next room when that happens? I know. I'm sitting here right now knowing I will not have the ability to think that.
Totally.
Even though it's still true. Totally. It will take me time to get there.
Yes, it always takes time. That's the hardest part about this too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I depersonalize it, and even just thinking about what you just said, my urge is to tell you the advice that I really need to give to myself too.
Mm-hmm.
So two birds, one stone, or the friendlier version, feed two birds with one scone. Because we love animals here on this platform. We don't want to kill anyone.
I love that.
We have to stick to the facts. The mm-hmm. more rooted in the objective facts that you can be, is she crying at drop-off for more than 3 days, right? Mm-hmm. Then that's an area to say something doesn't feel right. First day, second day, okay, that makes sense. Are there objective observations that are typically off and stay off for a week? Or mm-hmm. after a week. So when it's so easy to get lost in the spiral in the, what if this person, I don't trust, da 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 da. Own it, great, that exists. But during the thick of the transition, stay rooted in factual based observations. Mm-hmm. And that always, like the visual that I see in my head, it's like an anchor So I don't drift off into these like stormy, dark seas. That's the way that I look at it. So I'm telling you that advice because I truly need it too.
100%. And I'm giving it right back to you because that's exactly what you told me when I was struggling back in September. And look at the facts.
Yes.
Is she excited to go? Is she excited?
Yes.
And at the time, she was 6 months old. So like she could be crying for 1,000 reasons other than that. Your son, he's in a place right now where he can actually communicate it to you. Yes. And what you told me earlier was he was so excited to go today.
He was. He was. He had a great time.
I
hope that is a fact from his mouth. So that's what I am putting in my data collective toolbox and pocket. Mm-hmm. As I spiral later today, I'll whip it back out.
It's also the blessing and the curse of what you have in your brain.
Yes.
In terms of your education and your expertise and the brilliant mind that you are.
I love
it. It's really hard to turn that off. And I have the privilege of being able to access your mind when I need it, but not be living in it when I don't, when it's not serving me, right? And that's hard. That's really hard not to see everything from that lens. And like maybe it's putting that on the shelf, right?
Yes.
You talk about putting 100%, like wear that mom hat,
yep,
versus the educator.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And today I'm just mom and I'm just going to go with face value because I don't have the bandwidth to dive any deeper into this, nor do I need to.
Exactly. Oh, I love you for saying that. Thank you. I needed it. And I know Ryan's listening saying, yes, she needs that. Take it off. I can be so intense. So that is good. I will do that. And bringing it back to what I said before, what's unfamiliar today won't be as unfamiliar tomorrow. Look at us dropping a think about in the first 15 minutes of the episode.
God, we're just trailblazers.
Look at us.
Look at us. Well, on that note, what are we taking on today?
Oh, we are taking on an extension, really, of our phases and stages episode, which was way back when, in the early days of the Untake podcast launch, which is something a little more granular of working parents and working moms and working dads. And we're really not sure what direction this conversation is going to go, right, Melissa?
No, we're, I wouldn't say unprepared, but not overly prepared.
We're not as prepared as we usually are this week. That's for
correct.
Sure.
Correct.
But we're bringing our knowledge and we're bringing our experiences and we're bringing the realness factor.
100%. To be honest, I'm not much less prepared than I normally am. Which probably comes off in these episodes.
Absolutely not. We're keeping it real. And I do like there is such a space for the grayness and like a plan-ish. So we're really leaning into the ish today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see where it goes. Like, do we want to dive deeper into our personal experiences as we returned to work after having our babies? Do we want to talk about how friggin' hard it is to balance being a working parent in this society, in this world? Maybe we'll go in so many different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting that we get to take that on together today.
We do. Before we do, though, two truths, no lies. Do you want to get started?
Sure.
Today? Great.
I'm bringing something very new to the two truths, no lie table today.
Ooh, let's hear it.
So Ryan and I have been staying up extra late to watch something on television. It is season 2 of The Perfect Match. Did you watch season 1 of The Perfect Match, Melissa Rose?
Okay. Is this the one where they bring together all the different losers, essentially?
Losers, meaning the people who did not win.
Correct.
Not like loser with capital L coming up on your forehead, loser.
Correct, because that wouldn't be compassionate. However, it may be factually correct.
I'm crying. Yes, there are definitely some who are both of those things, but
probably yeah, because so yeah. No, sorry. Empathetic lens. Let me rephrase. So this is the one where they bring together people who did not find their match on one of the other dating shows. And that includes like Love is Blind, Love yep. Island, correct? Any yes. Netflix one. And they bring them back together.
Yes. So it's really driven by Nick Lachey. I don't really see Vanessa anywhere in this show, but I'm sure she probably has a handle in some capacity. But yeah, Nick Lachey is the host, and there's some people from Love is Blind, as you mentioned. There's some people from the show Too Hot to Handle, which unclear where to find that show. Not sure if I want to watch it.
Okay.
But we were kind of dabbling, like, wait a minute, where is the show? Where does it live? But anyway, so they all come together, and it's more of like a compatibility situation, and also like kind of Survivor mixed in, because there's some challenges. They're in Mexico. They get to do some obstacle courses together. Anyway, we have fully binged season two of The Perfect Match. And let me tell you something. I love to learn. I am a nerd ball at heart. Give me an empirical essay, an article, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to highlight it. I'm going to annotate it. I love that. One truth. Mm-hmm. Other truth, I love binging trashy television that does absolutely nothing for my brain and intelligence except give it to a place where it needs to go.
It turns it off.
Fully turns off the switch. And it felt phenomenal to just be in that veg out zone on the couch with my tea, watching a whole bunch of trash.
I so there we are. Love that for you.
Yep.
Two truths, no lies. Ain't it the goddamn truth? You're a mixed bag. You're love a it. Mixed bag. You're multifaceted. You're multi-passionate.
Totally.
We love it. She's versatile. I am going to put this on our list. Mike and I so connected. And I think I might have talked about this, but we so connected over Love is Blind.
Yeah.
We never watched a Bachelor. It's just not something that either of us ever got into for whatever reason. Well, no, I know the reason. It was the whole Chelsea Jimmy storyline that was popping off on social.
Yes.
That I was like, I need to be a part of this. I feel like I'm living under a rock. So we started watching, and exactly what you're explaining is what happened to us and literally everyone else on the planet.
Yes.
Like, we really bonded over watching this together. So this is really exciting, because I think it sounds like we will on this one,
too. Add it to the list. And even throughout the day, I would text Ryan, like, can't wait to be on the couch later, thinking about Perfect Match. Like, wonder what's going to happen. And I get excited throughout the day. Total zone of where we need to be to turn our brains off, and it's not serious, and it's fun, and it's lighthearted. And this season of Perfect Match features Jessica from Love is Blind.
I think I saw that. Yes. I saw that.
Talk about an evolved human.
Is that what it's giving in Perfect Match?
Oh, yes.
Evolved through the situation, or just in general?
In general.
Yeah.
She really has a real good head on her shoulders. And both of us were left like, I hope that you find the perfect match. I'm not going to give any spoilers, because mainly I don't really care about spoiling it for people listening. I'm more here not spoiling it for you.
Thank you. But I appreciate that. Especially considering I went into Love is Blind knowing the plot of the whole Megan Fox thing and whatnot, and Mike didn't, and that was so hard because I knew where we were going. I didn't really know everything else after that, but yeah, I'm gonna go into this blind.
Love
and I'm
it.
Excited now.
And then you're gonna circle back and we'll carve out a little space for some pop TV culture.
Ooh, let's do it.
All right.
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing.
Thanks for listening, but two truths, no lies. Tell us.
I already touched on this a bit, so I'm going to keep it short and sweet, as I always try to, but then I don't accomplish. The catalyst for having my family up this past week, or my parents in particular, was Mike and I had a gala at our beach club this past weekend. And
fancy.
Yeah, it was really fun. it was essentially like a big wedding. That's really what it felt like. But it was beautiful and they did a great job. So my in-laws are traveling right now and weren't going to be in town. And initially we were actually going to spend the night down the shore, make it a whole thing. So we needed to call on the reserves. And we're like, we're flying you up from Florida so you can come spend some time with us and some time with our daughter. It worked out great though, because it's also right after Father's Day. It was my mom's birthday. So it was just perfect timing all around. They were so helpful. It's so beautiful getting to see my daughter, spend time with them since they're not around all the time. And my older brother ended up coming up. And then I corralled my younger brother from Brooklyn and had him come out. So we had some real family time with the OGs, as my parents say. And it was great. It was so nice to have everyone together. But there were a lot of moving parts. Mm. A lot. As mentioned last week, I had a birthday dinner on Wednesday night in the city.
Yeah, you did.
I did. And
happy birthday,
I was,
Zoe.
Happy birthday, Zoe. We had so much fun. It was beautiful. My eye got a little bit better, for anyone keeping track. It was It was still starring on Wednesday, but it was enough to, you know, I didn't have to wear the eye patch. Got back that night. My parents had arrived. Mike had manned the fort. He had taken care of my older brother who had flown in, my parents. He had done everything that he needed to do. Thursday, I wake up. It's my mom's birthday. I'm working all day. I'm trying the best that I can to work and to give them the attention that they deserve. I didn't do a great job of it. We take her out for a quick dinner that night. Spoiler alert, when your child starts walking, going out to eat gets tougher. So let's clip back when Mel used to talk about how easy it is to take her daughter out to eat. That changes when they can walk. Phases and stages. It was still fun. It was still a great time. Friday, I was in the city. I go to work all day. I corral my brother. He meets me there. We drive back down. We host the family for a fun Friday night. Saturday morning, we wake up. We try and get as much quality time before heading down to the beach for the event. We get home very late on Saturday night. Sunday, family still here. Mondays, I'm working and family is still here. Today, we wake up. Family has left. It was a marathon. And it was so amazing to have everyone here and spend so much time together and make those memories. It was also, two truths, no lies, really challenging to manage my day-to-day while also having to factor in all of those plans. It wasn't just the visit, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't just my parents coming up to visit. It was 5 days worth of activities and handoffs and communications, picking up, cleaning up, setting up again, balancing work, balancing this, just so many moving pieces that, again, two truths, no lies, it was so incredible to see my family and so, so grateful for their willingness to come up and do that on relatively short notice. And also, as you evolve and become your own person, you realize that the way in which you function and you do things is going to be different than the people that made you.
Totally.
And they're so respective of that. If anything, just kind of give me my space. I'm the problem. I recognize it. I am the problem in all of this. But I constantly circulate on this, like, getting frustrated with situations and then getting frustrated with myself about the way that I handled it and then immediately feeling guilty about that. Like, just relax. You don't have to be so tightly wound. So that living above those two truths and lies, this constant self-blame and like do better monologue in my head is exhausting.
Beyond.
It's the biggest mirror. It's the biggest mirror that you could possibly have, to have your OG family and your current family all in one space under your roof for 5 days.
Yes.
6 days. It is an intense mirror into who you were, who you are, who you're trying to be, And it's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, you were set shifting on steroids.
Oh my God, yeah.
Physical perspective, from an emotional perspective, just holistically. Mm-hmm. And that part is so fatiguing.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. And again, it's really no one's fault, right? I'm so grateful to have family that is kind of scared of me, honestly. Like, truly. Like, I get really scary. It's something I'm working on. But that's the problem. We're not all together very often, so I don't have a lot of time to work on it. And then I'm evolved, and I reflect, and then everything's good, and then it happens again, because it's like, you know, three times a year. So I need to work on it. But I'm very grateful to have people that are respective of my boundaries and yes. who give me my space when I need it. And also, I like got to do better. So there's a couple of two truths and a lies in that one. But listen, yeah.
There's so many two truths, no lies. The do better thing, though, let's just drop something on that for a second. I'm gonna play the devil's advocate side. You are learning so many freaking things being a new mom. And in the phase that you're in right now, your daughter is almost a year and a half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That age is so hard. So you and Mike are learning how to parent her as she gets older and as she's sharing her opinions and her thoughts and her feelings. And then when you have other people join in that circle, especially family, who raised you and did a great job raising you, but do things differently, it becomes this spotlight that's in your own head of like, you say something, and then if you're thinking that someone else is watching, you're like, wait a minute, I should have done better in that regard. Or that's a narrative that lives in your head and only your head.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that. You're learning a lot of new things, and you have to give yourself just as much grace as you would give somebody else watching them.
Totally.
In this phase.
Totally.
So it's not easy. Let's reframe the do better. And maybe it's a matter of I'm truly doing my best right now, and I'm going to keep trying to be my best self.
I love that. I'm going to keep trying to do my best.
That's it.
So to do better, I'm going to keep trying to do my best. Love.
Right?
Reframe it. Stamp it. Tattoo it on my forehead.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That is it. And you don't expect yourself to react. Let's think about reaction and responding. Those are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
All within the emotional regulation hemisphere. But when you react to something, you are doing something impulsively, like impulsively reacting versus thoughtfully responding, right? And it's really hard when emotions are at play, when you have to come to which road you're going to take there. So you are trying, actively trying to do the best that you can do.
And I think it's important to note, it's not lost on me that everything I'm actively doing currently with my daughter is a reframe from not necessarily the way I was raised, but what I'm trying not to continue to do because I do it with my family, right? Mm-hmm. So I recognize the irony in that my mom is sitting there watching me be so gentle with my daughter and give her all the grace in the room and be so patient. And it's not disingenuous. Like, genuinely, my whole mood changes when I'm around my daughter because there's nothing more I want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm so patient and kind and, and I'll sit there and who cares what clock we're on. The minute that she is down for the night, I'm walking around my kitchen like, what's going on here, guys? It's like zero patience, zero grace, zero room for error. Like, why are my standards for them so much higher than for my daughter? Probably because she was just born. But like, I don't see that changing is my point. I don't see all of a sudden this version of me coming out when she's, I mean, I'm sure in some regard it will, when she's a teenager or something like that. Of course, I'm not perfect, but I'm currently rewiring my brain. I'm currently practicing this every single day. in hopes that when she's a teenager, I will be able to emulate this version of myself when I can.
Right.
But it's not lost on me. And I'm sure they're sitting at their airport gate right now being like, isn't that ironic?
Listen, you are doing your best to also remanage your expectations in the current phase and the current stage that you are in right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's really tricky.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. I do think that there's space to talk about this more with regard to not cycle breaking. That's not the angle, but we need to keep letting this germinate a little bit because there's something to be said about the ways in which we are sturdily parenting and how that might differ from how we are then reacting and responding to other people in our circle and organization too.
Yeah. It's an extension of boundaries too, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to be continued.
To be continued. But today, we're digging on working parents. Mm. That's a working title too. So we're going to refer to that now, but by the end of this, we might be like, this is actually what we're talking about. But it's really like returning to work, working parents. Mm-hmm. How do we balance it? Is it a work-life balance conversation? Is it a reframe on what it means to do it all?
It might be.
It might be.
I think it's interesting to start the conversation reflecting backwards for a second. Mm-hmm. I remember before I had my first child, I was like 24, 25, and looking at other people that I was working with become new moms and then return back to work and think, yeah, if I have the financial stability, I don't really want to balance it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just be a mom at home. And I could not have written my actual experience because that is not what I felt at all. I needed those parts of me to be actively stimulated after I became a mom. And I missed working. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about this in the Phases and Stages episode. That helped us both get our pink back, getting back to work. So it's now interesting to reflect backward and then look forward and think about that part of me, that part of us is really important to keep the momentum going. And at the same time, it is so hard to balance being a working parent.
I want to underpin that because you and I were talking about that offline. Right? As a working parent who works a hybrid, I go into the city a couple days a week and I work from home the other days a week. The flexibility that that provides, I mean, unmatched. I cannot confidently say that I would have my job right now or that I wouldn't have had to get a different job if the pandemic didn't happen, if I didn't have the flexibility that I have currently as a result of it. That said, when I think about comparing apples to apples in my day job, productivity pre-pandemic going into the office 5 days a week, taking the parenting out of it and balancing all of that, just truly my job. When I think back to those times when I was in the office 5 days a week and not able to set shift to do things throughout my house or set shift to be like, okay, I have an appointment and I'm going to run and then I'll come back and I don't have to take any formal time off. Like I'm just going to do my lunch break right now. My productivity is so different now. I get things done in a different way and it feels much more triaged. And there is a component of that, obviously, that has to do with my daughter. But this notion of because I work from home, I have the flexibility to is not a blanket statement.
No.
And in this culture of becoming parents in this either during COVID or just post, there's this expectation that should you not be able to afford and or that's not the only example, but afford or have a personal choice around not wanting to have permanent childcare for your child while you're working, that you can balance both. Like, oh, well, I work from home, so I can balance both. And if that is a choice, great. It still doesn't mean it's not hard.
Right.
And it still doesn't mean that prior to 2020, mm-hmm. it was unheard of, because yeah. it's two full-time jobs.
Exactly. Period, full stop. And let's carve out space for the 2020 parents of young children who were at home and expected to work and take care of their babies and children at the same time. They were not okay.
No.
I was pregnant. I cannot fathom doing the job that I had at that time with a little person with me. And I remember seeing the young moms on the screen during a staff meeting bouncing their baby who just learned to walk and couldn't sit and having to pay attention and participate. You can't do both. I like break out in hives just thinking about the balance that those parents had to endure during mm-hmm. that time. And it further shed light on how unsustainable that is in our society. These demands that are placed on parents who are expected to just be at work and not be a parent when they have both of those very important titles is not fair. And I don't say that often, but this world and this society is not made for people who are working parents.
I mean, quite literally. The system is not designed to have two working parents. Now, let's first just carve out space for single parents right now, single working parents.
My gosh.
I mean, that in and of itself,
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Angels.
Actual heroes, angels couldn't do it. The amount of times Michael and I think about that and say that out loud. How? Yes. How? And we have one and we have help.
It's unbelievable.
Putting that on a shelf, because that doesn't even, like, what you are experiencing
is a completely different world.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Our system is not designed to have two working parents. No. And with the cost of childcare, and quite honestly, the lack of reliable, affordable childcare in this country, it doesn't make sense. We're not going to go down this road. But just like zooming out for 2 seconds, what most people are expected to do in this country that we live in and manage.
It's too much.
And keep their head above water and feed their children, do right by their children, do right by their employers, get themselves to work at X time, leave, manage to take care of their kids and put food on the table. I'm repeating myself for a reason.
Yeah.
It is not sustainable. It is not achievable.
It's a systemic issue that is not achievable or sustainable.
And going up the ladder and having the absolute privilege to be able to afford childcare and be able to work for a company that provides reasonable leave so that I can heal and bond with my child. And then returning and having flexibility and working for people that I can say, hey, listen, today's not a great day.
Right.
We got hit with this bug. We have this going on. I don't have childcare. School's closed. And they're going to be patient and kind with me. That's the 1%. That's not the normal experience. It's not. And I'm so incredibly grateful for that. And all that goes to say, it's still hard.
Two truths. And you're irreplaceable at home, mm-hmm. but you're replaceable at work.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a privilege that we have and that we own. But at the same time, work is work. Mm-hmm. It's not your whole life.
I would love to dive into how you are currently managing it right now. Mm. And not that this is a concrete grenade, not that this is a what to expect, but just P to P,
yep.
M to M, what would you say are your top things that keep your head above water?
It's a great question. Sometimes I'm not sure, to be really honest with you. I have the perspective of my experience the past 10 years, especially the past 2 years, as a working parent commuting into the city every day. and knowing that that wasn't sustainable. So knowing that I'm using the same 24 hours that I was the past 2 years in a different way now, and looking at it very concretely, I would wake up at 5 a.m. and I was at my desk in New York City on the Upper West Side at 6:05 a.m. I was responding to parent emails at 6:05 a.m. And then a teacher would walk into my office sometimes at 6:45 a.m. Why she was there so early, I still don't know. But she was a recurring guest in my office at 6:45. I would sometimes have a whole day's worth of conversations completed before 8 a.m. I ran a 7:30 meeting 3 times a week. So when I think about how I use those first couple hours of the day then, that allows me to be very strategic and intentional about the ways that I carve out the same chunks of time now, but just in very different ways. And that's leveraging my type A, my structure-oriented mindset. But it gives me the breathing room to say 6 to 7 a.m., that is you time. You're going to unload the dishwasher so it is available for all those dirty dishes to go in throughout the day. And then thinking about midday check-in. If I know I have a heavy work-driven morning, midday, I'm going to take 12 to 12:30 to go for a walk. Maybe I'll take a work call then. I didn't have that flexibility the past couple of years. So the fact that my time and days are structured differently now, balancing the kids at home, balancing working from home, balancing this amazing Unicorn Space podcast venture with you, I look at my 24 hours in such a different way. And that is what allows me to strike more of a balance and keep my head, I wouldn't even say above water. I would say like my eyes are above water and I'm like blah, blah, blah. Whereas when I reflected back and people asked me like, how is it going commuting with 2 kids in New York City? I would equate it to my head was underwater. I had no goggles on and my eyes were open. And you know, when you just see this blurriness around you, that's what that was. So when I'm comparing that to where I am now, I feel very privileged.
It is a privilege in itself to have that perspective, to be able to look back. And I find myself and some of my other colleagues who worked for the same company prior to the pandemic and were also living where they live now. There's a lot of people that moved outside of the city, of their respective cities during the pandemic, so weren't doing that commute or different things prior, so they really don't have that to compare to. So I find myself and some colleagues falling into that perspective shift of, you know what, though, I could be doing this 5 days a week, right?
Yep,
and I think it's a really important coping mechanism, to your point of being able to find that space. I think also, though, it can be invalidating to yourself when things are hard, right? Yeah. If it works for you, it works for you. Yes. Right? It's working for you because you're like joyous about the amount of flexibility that you have and the way in which your life looks comparatively. Do you miss it? Of course you do. But that what this looks like now, if that's what works for you, that's what works for you. Sometimes it can also have that flip effect that when it feels hard, it's like, this is hard. Imagine how hard it would have been if I had to still be doing X or Y or Z. And I think for anyone that right now doesn't have children or is expecting their first or hoping to be expecting soon, and they are thinking to themselves, what do I do between the hours of 6 and 9:30 a.m. currently? Nothing. I sleep. I'm not a morning person. Or I take a workout class. That actually might be scary to them. Oh, whoa, like I don't do anything in those hours. How am I going to do this? The answer to that is you find a different space for you, but you have to do that. Back to phases and stages, back to getting your pink back. You have to find that space for you. For you, you're sitting there like, I'm gaining 4 hours of my day. this is incredible. I could sleep in and still do 2 hours of things and then be waking my children up. It's insane.
Right.
For someone else, that's going to look different. But find that space back, whether that's your partner's a morning person, so they take the morning shift. Or if you're a night owl, then you know what? Maybe you find something for you in that nighttime reset, or someone else does reset for you so you can gain that back at night. Whatever it is, pinning it down and finding that balance for yourself is so incredibly important. This is a good starting point for how to balance it. Mm-hmm. And the answer is there's no one way to do it. Yeah. It's all inside of you and finding what works best for you and sticking to that. And that's going to look different to the person that's next to you, the person that's above you, the person that's below you. It's going to look completely different. But hammering that out, if going to work is something that you have to do or that you want to do.
Yes, yes. And we always talk about who are the people on your bench in your organization, in your village. And I know that I have a hard time asking for help. However, it is essential to ask for help to keep your head above water when you are balancing being a working in the home mom, when you're balancing being a working parent, whatever it might be. Asking for help and knowing who to call and who to go for to make those types of moments just a little bit lighter and easier on you is how you get through the day. And also how you get to that time that you carved out for you.
That's exactly right. I supported a very senior person at our organization prior to having children. And she had 3 children and was always prioritizing them, always set like a model for how to quote unquote do it all. Constantly drowning at work. It was a mess, this calendar that I managed. But always had a smile on her face and was incredible. And I ran into her recently and I told her, I wanted to send you flowers when I came back to work because I never truly understood what you had going on. And your job is so much more demanding than mine. And you have 3 children. Mm. I don't know how you do it. And you know what she said to me? Work's the easy part. She's like, it's not work I'm ever stressed about. It's the logistics of the kids. It's, are they going to get to where they need to be? Are they upset about this? Am I going to miss that? It's the kids. That's all that matters at the end of the day. And this is someone that objectively you could look at and think that there's no way they even have time to think about those things. If you even knew her for a millisecond, you would know that that's what she thinks about. But just looking at her calendar and the things that she manages and the demanding job that she has. But the fact of the matter is she said, it's the kids. It's the family. True. Like, that's the hardest part. And it's the most joyous part, too. And it's what it's all about. So remembering it's hard for everyone.
Yes.
Even the people with all the help in the world. It's hard because the more demanding the job, the less time you have with those kids that fill up your heart and your soul. So there's a flip side to every coin. We have to land the plane because you have to go, speaking of, because you don't have childcare today.
We're doing our best over here, right?
Actually, we are.
Just making it concrete, though, I was able to carve out the space to do this with you during a nap time. And then I don't have to sit in traffic for an hour and a half to get home to my kids. I'm here. I can do that. And notwithstanding the fact that you said before, it is hard sometimes. And it's still where I want to be, right? Both of those things are so true. But to just comment quickly on what you just shared, it's so easy for one to fall under the assumption umbrella and think they have it all. They can do it all. How do they do it all? Even if it looks like that from the outside. So much invisibility goes into it. And that's why I love we're surfacing all of these little different tenets that are holding up the working parent right now, because it is so stinking hard. And bringing it back to where we started with all of this, with transitions in general, what's unfamiliar today won't be unfamiliar tomorrow. And that also relates to working parents. because the parental phase and stage that we're in right now isn't going to be the same as it is tomorrow. It's going to evolve. And eventually, when we're doing the M-Take podcast, when we have our empty nests, which is insane, we'll be on episode 2000. We're going to be
probably more than that.
I'm not good at math. But when we're talking about the same concept in a different phase and different stage of life, it's going to look very different for us.
I don't want to think about it.
I know. Which is why we will stay grounded and rooted in the here and the now as much as we can and remind and be oriented in what's unfamiliar today won't be tomorrow. And that's also going to change with our phase and our stage.
As you just said, because I really liked this, it's really hard, but there's no place I'd rather be.
Same.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow. We did it. The tear didn't fall, but I got a little choked up there. I don't know if it counts. All right. I love you so much. Thank you all for listening. As always, you know where to find us at the M-Take Podcast on Instagram. DM us, comment, tag us. Let us know how you're managing. Or honestly, what I want to even hear more of is what makes you nervous. Like if you haven't gone back to work yet, or you haven't had a child yet, or you're about to go into a new transition, what makes you the most scared or hesitant to do that? Because that's where we really thrive, is emotionally vaccinating.
And being
like, listen, you're right to be scared. It's scary, but that's also really cool. And it's amazing. And it's a sick ass journey that I am so happy to be on, especially with you.
Oh, ditto, beyond.
All right. Love you so much. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Toodles.
Bye.